I'm doing a series of messages on the life of a Christian. And so far, we have looked at the first message, the Christian history in the making. Are we a history maker? God is on the lookout for those who live significant lives and make an impact in society and in our nation specifically. And the second message, the Christian legacy on earth. The question is, what type of legacy will we leave behind? What will ours say on our tombstone? It doesn't matter if we finish first or last. It doesn't matter if we have stack of cash or nothing, or how many houses that we own, or cars that we own. When we cross that finish line, all that matters is we finish well. And Paul wrote, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. The third message, the Christian gospel, one of the main and a major question that I always ask pastor who sit for the ordination examination, become a reverend, ordained minister, is what is the Christian gospel? In other words, what do you believe and preach? What do people believe in order to be saved? And I'm surprised that many of these pastors to be ordained pastors, and they will say to me, for God so loved the world, and God forgive the sin of man, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and have eternal life, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. They're not wrong. But the answer I really want to hear from is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 2 to 4. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain, for what I receive, I pass on to you as of first importance. And what is the gospel? That Christ died for our sin according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. This is the Christian gospel by which men and women, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls are saved. The fourth message, the Christian worship. What is the Christian worship? Is it just about singing a few songs? Is it just about hearing people sing and playing some musical instrument to entertain us, to keep us awake before the preacher put us all back to sleep again? No, brothers and sisters. Worship is not about us. It's not about what I want or what makes me happy. Worship is about our coming into this building called a church so that we can respond to God's character and presence in our lives. In other words, we come here to worship God, to thank Him for who He is. We come here and we thank God and recognize His grace, God's grace in forgiving us of our sin and for sending Jesus Christ to come to this world to die for us. And we come ready to say thank you, God, for His compassionate and never-ending love. And we come wanting to thank Him for His act of mercy, for His creativity, and for so many different ways that God has blessed each and every one of us. Worship is not about us. Worship is also not about music, what instrument we use and how fast or slow the music is and who the worship leader is. It's all about God. And the fifth message, the Christian ways, which is our Bible. 39 books make up the Old Testament, starting with the book of Genesis and ending with the book of Malachi. 27 books make up the New Testament, and they deal with Jesus Christ's birth and life and death and resurrection, with the beginning of the Christian church and instruction about how to live as followers of Jesus Christ. The Bible is not just a mere book. It is more than just an apps like Waze, because Waze originated from an Israelite company, but the Bible comes from God. All scripture is God-breathed. Waze is fallible, but the Bible is infallible. It is perfect. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then the sixth message, the Christian power. This is the word of the Lord, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And you have to give credit to what where credit is due. And some may be inclined to say to you, the world can only be changed for the better by great men and women of God, and great men like Dr. Billy Graham and David Yonggi Cho, and now his name is Paul, okay, Joseph Prince, or even by Pastor John Koch. But in reality, what needs to be said is the world can only be changed for better by Christian, you, who are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is where credit is due. And that is what is true. We can do nothing of significance without Him, without the influence and power of the Holy Spirit. And today, in our seventh message, we're going to look at the Christian service. In the last message, I used Star Wars as an illustration where Luke Skywalker was taught how to use the Force. And Obi-Wan Kenobi was preparing him for his life mission as a Jedi Knight. And he wasn't going to send Luke on an assignment unprepared. He showed him the resource that was available to him, something called the Force. And the Force was something Luke couldn't see, but Luke just had to trust that it was there. And that is, of course, just fantasy. But in real life, brothers and sisters, God gave us resource that is even better, the Holy Spirit. And today, I'm going to use another movie and an illustration. Let me see whether any one of you know this person by the name Nicho Nicholas. Is this name familiar to any one of you? No one have heard of this person? Serious? Any one of you have heard of this person? I'm shocked. Really? No one know this person? Oh, now I know her. Okay, now you know her. Okay, then you're most probably a Star Trek fan. I'm surprised you don't know her name. Nicho Nicholas was the actress who played Uhura in the TV show Star Trek and in six Star Trek movies. And she was the first black woman regularly featured on the weekly TV show. And as such, she had obstacles to overcome. And according to Steve Jones in USA Today, a few studio executives were hostile toward her character, which was often diminished by script rewrites, and the studio even withheld tons of her fan mail. And after 1 year on the program, Nicho was really fed up, and she was going to quit and pursue her performing career because she was also an extremely talented professional singer and dancer. Then she met Dr. Martin Luther King. And Martin Luther King encourages her not to leave the show, to see the bigger picture and understand that she was a role model for many. And Nicho said later, when you have a man like Dr. Martin Luther King who said to you, you can't leave a show, it is overwhelming. And it humbles my heart, and I couldn't leave. God had charged me with something more important than my own career. And with that decision to stay on, not only did Nicho become a fixture on Star Trek, she actually influenced NASA and challenged them to hire blacks and women for their astronaut corps. And by giving up her plan to sing and dance, Nicho found the deafening role of her career in one of the most popular TV show ever. And at first, what seems useless and in vain ended up influencing a nation, the whole world. Brothers and sisters, like Nicho Nicholas, as we die to ourselves, we can pursue something far more important in the cause of Christ, where we find our God-given destiny to change the nation, to change the world. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm. This is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Nothing we ever do for the Lord is useless. There is a bigger picture. There is a bigger purpose. So don't quit. Don't quit serving. In the last message, we learned that the power of the Holy Spirit is given for a purpose. If our service for God is done in His power, it will always accomplish what God wants accomplished. And today I'd like us to look at the Christian service. What and how and why do we serve? In our marketplace, in our home, in our workplace, in our school, university or college, in church. And there must be certain trademarks when we engage in service. So look at this verse again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So the first trademark is to serve with conviction. And Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Grammatically, this is a present imperative, which means that we are to keep on standing firm. Continue to be settled and firmly situated. Stay totally immobile and motionless in your conviction. Don't waver. Don't hesitate. Now, what does Paul mean by that? Well, I believe he meant a number of things. For one, Paul means being convinced that Jesus rose from the dead. And that is what the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is all about. For what I receive, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture. And then in verse 14, Paul says, and if Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So if you see, if our conviction about the resurrection of Jesus Christ waver, we are sure to lose our desire to serve God at all. The word of the popular hymns, He Lives, echo this truth. I serve a risen Savior is in the world today, and I know that He's living whatever man may say. This service, this Christian service flows from that conviction that Jesus Christ is alive and well, and whatever man may say, and whatever the obstacle, and whatever the troubles and the difficulties, are you serving with that conviction today, that we serve a living Savior? And then two, I believe that Paul means being convinced there is a reason for service. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 ends by reminding us that through faith in Jesus Christ, we will be raised to eternal life as well. I do not know the reason for your serving. Is it because Pastor John asked you to serve? Or is it because you have a lot of free time? Or is it because you want to please others? Is it because you want earthly rewards and appreciation? Well, this reason may not be totally wrong, but a primary reason for serving God should be because He has promised us a home in heaven. We are storing up treasures there instead of here on earth. You know, Paul says to the Philippians, believers in Philippians chapter 3, that he was not looking for a gift from them, but he was looking for that which may be credited to their account in heaven. You know, all of us here, we have bank account, right? I'm sure many of you have bank account here. RHB Bank, HSBC Bank, Maybank, CIMB Bank, Public Bank, UOB Bank, Citibank, and some may have a number of banks as well. And we put our money there to gain interest. 1 month FD is 3.15 or 3.3%, or 6 months is 3.4 or 3.6%. And if you have better rate, you can come see Pastor John. You can put in the better rate in those banks. My question is, are you investing in the heavenly account? Whatever service you are doing today, whether as a Sunday school teacher or as an usher, or for helping out in the PA room, or just a van driver, or playing the worship team, or singing the choir, or helping the poor, the widow, or visiting the sick, all these services will be credited to your heavenly account. And Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, he says, yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. See, Paul was convinced of his eternal reward, and he will work like a man whose days on earth were few and number. This is just a temporary home. I've said in one of my sermons, this is just a temporary home. We are just passing through. And we have to set our hearts on things above, to set our minds on things above, to invest in our eternal treasure above. Are we serving with that reason today? To store up treasures above? And then three, I believe what that Paul means by being convinced that serving God's way is best. And that's why he's able to say to the Corinthians, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Brothers and sisters, serving is a joy. Christian serving is a joy, because we are serving the Lord. You're not serving Pastor John. You're not serving people. You may not be appreciated by others. You may not be appreciated even by the pastor, or Pastor John may not know. It's okay. Why? Because you are serving the Lord. Brothers and sisters, is the Lord speaking to you this morning? Some of you may have been discouraged because your service have not been appreciated. Some of you may have stopped serving for a long time because you're tired or hurt by someone. Please be reminded that you are serving God, and his ways are always best. His ways are always, always best. I shared this illustration before, 4 years ago, about a Christian nurse who was volunteering in a leprosy colony, taking care of the nasty wound and open sores of the patient. And someone was coming through and visiting the facility, and one day this person saw her and said to her, I wouldn't do what you do for $1 million. And then this Christian nurse looked up to her and smiled and said, I wouldn't do it for $1 million either, but I would do it for Jesus for free. You know, for free. This nurse knew whom she was serving. Do we? Do you? Do you? Are we serving for that reason, with that reason today, convinced that serving God's way is the best? Therefore, my dear brothers, sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. So the first trademark is to serve with conviction. To serve with conviction that Jesus rose from the dead, that there is reason for service, that serving God's way is the best. And then the second trademark is to serve with enthusiasm. Look at chapter 15, verse 58, 1 Corinthians again. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Or as it read in the New Living Translation, if you have a New Living Translation, always be enthusiastic about the Lord's work. And what Paul means here is to pour yourself into serving God. Give yourself fully. Say, whatever God you want done, I will do it, and I will do it gladly. And Psalms 100 say, worship the Lord with gladness, or serve the Lord with gladness. Don't serve with a grumpy face. Don't serve if you keep complaining. Don't serve reluctantly, but serve with joy. Serve with gladness, given fully to the work of the Lord. So my question for you is, how enthusiastic are you about pouring yourself into what God has for you to do on a daily basis? Are you looking for ways to serve Him? Are you seeking out what He wants from you on a daily basis? Do you wake up wondering what your mission is for the day? Or are you still wondering where and how to serve? No, while preparing this sermon a couple of weeks back, I received a long WhatsApp story from my classmate, my schoolmate. We still are in touch with one another in a chat group of about 20 over students way back in the 70s when we were studying in the Lockman. No, among the group of people, I think about 20 of us, one of them is still very naughty, and still is naughty, because each time he opposed to the chat group, you know, he will you will put in those naked thing here, good morning, naked day, thing there, good afternoon. My wife was saying to me, why don't you just delete this person? I can't. If I delete myself, I become more holy than all these people. I'm not in touch with my group of people because I want to be in touch with them. And then one day, did one of the friend of mine, the schoolmate, WhatsApp this long story. He's an unbeliever, and I find this very interesting because the timing was just perfect. I find this story very relevant for us. There was an old church in a village in Brazil. The roof was leaking and the walls were almost collapsing. And after the service, the priest asked the worshipper if they could organize a fundraising to rebuild the church. And he told them to contribute whatever God has blessed each and every one of them with. If they have some money, then they could bring the money. And if they earn their living by selling tomatoes in the market, they could bring tomatoes and they would get them auctioned in the church to raise the money. If they operated a hardware business, it would even be better. They could bring nails and iron sheet for the roof, whatever each of them had. And eventually, it was the day of the fundraising, and worshippers came in the large numbers, and some with money in their pocket, and others with goods, depending on their jobs and sources of livelihood. And they were met with a strange sight when they came to the church that Sunday morning. A coffin at the entrance of the church. And they were wondering, gosh, who had died? But then it was Sunday, and they all knew that They don't have funeral services, and it was never conducted on Sunday, and they were asking, what's going on? What's going on? What is happening? Why a coffin right in front of the entrance of the church? And so the people were talking and whispering to each other, asking, what's the meaning of that? Why is the coffin right in front of the entrance of the church? And then they finally started pointing their finger to an old man seated right at the corner, and he was the coffin maker. And some of them looked at him with hostility, but he didn't mind. Because he said, the priest said, people should bring whatever God has blessed them with, right? And he was a coffin maker. That's what he has. So he brought the coffin to the church. And after the church service, it was time to raise the money, and those that money contributed, and hardware business, people gave iron sheet and other building equipment and material, and tomato trader brought the tomato, which were auctioned away immediately. And then finally, the coffin maker dragged his coffin right to the front of the church and stood still, right at the front. And people gasped and they felt silent, and you could actually hear a pin drop like now. Suddenly, an old man, a friend of the coffin maker, stood up. And he offered 15,000 for the coffin on behalf of the priest. And he was saying, I will buy it for the priest. And the priest shot up immediately with eyes so wide open. He quickly offered 20,000 for the coffin on behalf of the chairman of the church. And chairman of the church almost stumbled, and he stood to his feet so shocked looking at the coffin right in front. He said, no. He shouted, no, it's not mine. And I'll buy it for the church treasurer. I will offer 30,000. And the treasurer turned and looked angrily at the chairman as if to ask, do you want to kill me? And clearly nobody wanted the coffin, and it kept on being passed around. And finally, another rich old man stood up and said he was buying this coffin for 100,000, and he was buying it on behalf of the coffin maker. And all the coffin maker was so glad. He took the coffin home, returned back to his shop smiling. And this coffin maker, someone was looked down upon, someone whom people mocked that he benefited from the misfortune of others, had raised the greatest amount of money for the church without contributing even a single cent. Now, what is the moral of the story? I concluded reading this wonderful illustration sent by this non-Christian schoolmate of mine. You can serve God in many different ways. God wants you just the way you are to serve Him with whatever you have. Your money, if you have money, your time and your talents and give, and to do it enthusiastically. So the question for us is, are we serving enthusiastically today? And then lastly, the third trademark is to serve with confidence. The last phrase of 1 Corinthians 15, 15, it says, because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Brothers and sisters and even friends here, have you ever attempted to do something only to discover that your efforts were in vain? It turned out that your work was for nothing, and it can be a very frustrating feeling. 1 Corinthians 15, 58 reminds us that serving God is not an empty and useless activity. Nothing we do for God is ever useless. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, nothing we do is in vain. Our labor is not in vain. Our labor is not wasted. We may be discouraged because we don't see any result. And we might think that has my labor all been in vain? I told my husband so many times about Jesus Christ, but he still won't become a Christian. He still won't come to the church with me. I try to maintain godly practices in my office, and yet I'm consistently overlooked for a promotion. I invited all my friends to church, but they still don't want to come. I've been teaching the Sunday school for years and years and years, and I've yet to see any fruits or result. Brothers and sisters, don't be discouraged. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, many years ago, as a youth leader of this church in the late 70s, I was leading the junior training union of this church with a lot of young people at that time. And there was this young boy. He was very, very naughty, really, really naughty. And he was famously known among us as a rascal. You know, what is a rascal? Beyond help. And when I left for my theological study in Australia in 1985, he left the church also, this young boy. And I lost in touch with him when I came back after I completed my studies at the end of 1986. But 5 years ago, I still remember 5 years ago, almost 27 years later, he called up the church asking to speak to Pastor John. When the line was passed into my room, he spoke to me very gently. And I remember he asked, are you Pastor John? I said, yes, I am. And then he asked, are you Ensing? That was my name before I left for Australia. And people who call me Ensing are people who knows me way back in the 70s. And I say, yes, I am. And I heard him screaming and shouting on the line so loudly. And he said, I'm Johnny, I'm Johnny, I'm Johnny. Do you still remember me? I'm Johnny. And I was your student in the junior training union. No, obviously, yes, how can you ever forget a rascal and naughty boy like him? And I actually asked him, are you Johnny Young? No, for 20 old years, I still remember this rascal. Are you Johnny Young? You know, he say, yes, yes, I'm Johnny Young. I'm Johnny Young. And he excitedly asked me, can I come to see you? I want to see you. And he came. He came the next day. He knocked on my office door. And the moment he came in and he saw me, you know, he bowed down right in front of me. And I have to quickly ask him to stand up. And then he gave me a bear hug and thanked me for leading him to know Jesus Christ and for the many years of teaching him. And you wouldn't believe it. He's now a pastor. Can you really believe it? And you really have to be mischievous like him to be called to be a pastor. And I was also like that when I was young in this church. Because I still remember one church leader told the young people to stay away from me so that they won't be influenced by me. 27 years later, I saw the fruit of my teaching. Yes, obviously, I see a lot of fruit of my teaching, but 27 years later, I saw the fruit of my teaching in this young boy. My labor was not in vain. My labor was not wasted. Now, I like to this saying from Charles Spurgeon, the popular preacher of his day, this brilliant man who once wrote, nothing can dignify a man more than being appointed to an office in a Christian church. I would rather be a deacon of a church than Lord Mayor of London. Brothers and sisters, today, and as always, the church have been looking for people to help. The church have been looking for volunteers because we have so many opportunities for people to serve, and yet so few are passionate about serving. So few are seeing what needs to be done and willing to do it without being asked or told. Do you find it a burden or blessing when someone asks you to serve in some way in this church? When was the last time you call and stop by someone and talk to the person and say, how can I help? What needs the church have? And when was the last time you say to the pastor on the way out after the service, pastor, if the church needs me, call me. Here's my phone number or my business card. Really? I'm praying that the Lord will raise up more men and women and boys and girls in our church who will always give themselves fully to the work of the Lord because they know that the labor in the Lord is not in vain. God is not looking at your ability. No matter how gifted you are, God is looking for your availability. And He's looking for fat people. F-A-T, not physical fat like Pastor John, but faithful, available, and teachable, who are willing to serve. And if you are available, God can and God will do great things through you. Are you serving with confidence today? Because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Brothers and sisters, in the book of Philippians, we read what Paul wrote from a prison cell about how he was ready to go home to be with the Lord. And he said in Philippians chapter 1, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Paul realized that nothing he did for God was useless. Even writing letters from a prison cell, because God could use that too. If he had given up, we might never have books in the Bible like Philippians and Colossians written by him. Brothers and sisters, if our service for God, if we do not use our service for God, we are wasting our talent and gift that the Lord has given to us. Our service for Christ is never, never, never useless. So how are you doing in this area of serving? Do you believe when you are serving and doing what God asks you to do that you are making a difference? Do you believe that you are laying up treasures up above in heaven? Do you have confidence that your labor in the Lord is not useless or in vain? Brothers and sisters, I'm certain that God has a calling for each one of you. A few of you received that call to make ministry your vocation, be full-time minister for God. But the vast majority of you, I may say 90% of you, that may not be the case. But yet the call is just as significant to serve Him in whatever capacity God has called you, God has blessed you with. So today, are you serving? Are you serving? Are you serving with conviction? Are you serving with enthusiasm? Are you serving with confidence? Are you? Let's just pray. Lord, we pray that you speak to us. Yes, you may not have a calling for each one of us to give up our career to go into full-time ministry to serve you, to make it a vocation to be full-time minister, missionary. But the vast majority, Father, many of us here, that may not be the case. But yet, Lord, we know that you have called us to serve you in whatever capacity, whatever you have blessed us with, whatever you have given to us, our gifts, our talent. So, Lord, help us to use it to serve you today, to serve you with conviction, to serve you with enthusiasm, to serve you with confidence. And for some who may not have been serving, Lord, may you awake them, revive them to come back to serve you, to serve you. Thank you for your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.